When you bring up the topic of illegal immigration, do you think that political party affiliation will determine who favors or opposes various policy proposals? Well, if you do, there's a new poll of likely voters which will surprise you. It's appearing that if the Democrats want to run with the message of entry for all, they might be preaching to a smaller choir than they had hoped for. Joining us now to review this poll data and some other immigration topics of late from Numbers USA is their Director of Content and Activism, Chris Chmielewski. Thanks for being here today, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
NumbersUSA.com is a website. Learn more about the various issues we are going to address here. And I want to start with that poll. This was done by the polling company toward the end of last month. And just going to wander through a few of the questions because really there's a thread through all the responses, Chris, that you would assume the Democrats would be, in this poll at least, against ideas like current federal policy adds about 1 million new immigrants with lifetime work permits into the U.S. each year. Knowing this, which is closest to the number of new immigrants the government should be adding each year? Overall number, vast majority said 250,000 or less. And if you look at the demographic breakdown, every demographic breakdown, including Democrats and independents, far and away agree with the 250,000 or less number. That goes against the common grain of thought, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, if you listen to leaders of both parties and you listen to the elites, they pretty much say we need more immigration. You need more immigration to grow the economy and to pay for future Social Security costs and all these reasons that they give. But, you know, what our poll found is obviously the support for reducing immigration tends to lean more towards Republicans. There's a lot of independents that also support lower immigration levels, but Democrats, the plurality of Democrats, support 250,000 immigrants or less every single year, and 54% support reducing it from the current level of 1 million down to at least 750,000. So there's broad bipartisan support amongst midterm likely voters that want to see immigration reduced from its current high levels.
And it's not just through party affiliation, too. Again, the assumption would be the younger someone is, the more pro-immigrant they are. But for that question that I referenced in the poll, among 18 to 44-year-olds, 43% also agreed with that 250,000 or less. That, again,
right,
goes against the common train of thought.
Yeah, and again, that's a plurality as well. But then all you have to do is go to about 500,000 or less to find a majority of 18 to 44s. It's about 54% support cutting legal immigration in half. But again, you listen to our national leaders, with the exception of some statements that President Trump has made and then Vice President Mike Pence gave a speech earlier this week at the Department of Homeland Security where he called for ending chain migration and the visa lottery, which would dramatically reduce legal immigration levels. You don't hear it at the national level at all. And in fact, when the Senate was voting on a potential DACA amnesty compromise back in February, there were many members that said that we oppose both the president's approach because it reduces legal immigration, and we're coming out with other ways to try to boost legal immigration, even though, you know, clearly the majority of voters in this country across all party lines, all age groups, all demographics support reducing legal immigration from its current high of 1 million per year.
E-Verify is another bone of contention. Probably the biggest fight against it in the U.S. Senate is led by New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez. The question is, Congress is also considering giving lifetime work permits. Certain young adults who are brought illegally to the U.S. by their parents, if Congress grants these immigrants work permits, should Congress also mandate all employers use the government's E-Verify system? Overall, it was 52% yes for E-Verify, 24% no. But again, you look at the party affiliation, 63% Republicans, not a surprise, 55% independents, which in many states, the independents is the largest voting bloc, so that was a sizable there. And again, bucking the assumed trend and common thought, 40% of Republicans versus 30 are in favor of E-Verify.
Yeah, and what we've seen, and of course this question was tied to an amnesty, so that changes the question a little bit, changes maybe some of the responses. If you just pull E-Verify, just the issue of E-Verify, you see much, much, much higher support for an overall E-Verify system. What this poll did was, like I said, it said, should E-Verify be part of an amnesty for DACA recipients? And that actually brought down some of the responses, because there are, especially on the Democratic side, some who just want an unconditional amnesty for DACA recipients. But as you said, independents and then especially Republicans are much more to wheel and deal on E-Verify and give up an amnesty for 690,000 illegal aliens that received the DACA amnesty in exchange for making sure that employers start using E-Verify. And why that's so important is because the reason why we're in this situation where we have this DACA debate that's somewhat backburnered now, but really dominated the national discourse for about 6 months, and the reason why we have 11 million illegal aliens currently living in the United States is because they can come here and work. So if you take away that jobs magnet, you're going to reduce future illegal immigration dramatically.
Which is something we saw when the economy in this country tanked back in 2008. We saw a lot of self-deportations because if there were no jobs to be had in those tough economic times, there was no reason for many of the immigrants to stay here.
Exactly. Yeah. If somebody from another country comes here illegally and can get a job, they're going to continue to come, and they're going to tell their friends to come as well. But if they come here and they find out, oh, there's no jobs for us here, they're not going to come, and they're going to stop coming. You'll see those future waves stop coming, and then Border Patrol can focus its time and energy instead of what it's been doing this past week in trying to disrupt that caravan that moved across Mexico into the U.S. border. Instead of trying to deal with them, they can go after the people that are trying to do harm to the United States, the human smugglers and the drug traffickers and the potential terrorists that are trying to cross the border illegally as well.
We're talking with Chris Chmielewski, Director of Content and Activism with Numbers USA. NumbersUSA.com is their website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Additional surprises, as if that first part of the poll wasn't enough of a surprise. They actually had a poll within a poll of strictly Hispanic and Latino likely voters. And right across the board, 250,000 or less Latino voters in the survey agreed with that by a vast majority. E-Verify, limits on chain migration. This poll really should empower and embolden the Republican Party to say, you know what? Whether we want to admit it or not, we're right.
Well, one would think it would embolden the Republican Party. Yeah, and if you think about it, it really does make sense. Again, the poll questioned Hispanic likely voters. So these are U.S. citizens of Hispanic descent. And again, they're likely to vote in the midterms coming up this fall. And when folks come to the country illegally, they're going to tend, especially if they're coming from Spanish-speaking countries, they're going to tend to live in communities. They're going to seek out, find, and live in communities where there's, you know, predominance of Hispanic residents living there. So it's the Hispanic Americans that are sometimes facing the most job competition from folks coming to the country illegally. Some of these responses should not be surprising. The problem is, you know, as you noted, the Republican Party, just for whatever reason, or at least the elites within the establishment within the Republican Party, just refuses to go into some of these Hispanic communities and have these conversations with those folks.
Continuing with our immigration myth-busting segment, I guess we can call it now. The claim is, well, it's great to have these immigrants, illegal and otherwise, come into the country because they get jobs, they pay taxes, they add so much to the U.S. economy. Well, according to the Dialogue Leadership for America, they released some numbers about 2017 remittances to Latin America and the Caribbean in 2017. There's about $75 billion that is leaving the U.S. economy and going back to home countries like Mexico and Guatemala and South America, Dominican, Nicaragua, Panama. Some of these countries, their remittances are equal to 1/5 of the gross domestic product.
Yeah, it really is. It defeats the, you know, it knocks down the arguments that say, oh, that the more immigration you have, the more that's going to be more money that's going to be pumped back into the economy. It's going to help businesses, sell more products and expand, and that's good for everybody. It'll eventually create jobs. It helps the economy grow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when they're sending the money home, it's not going to have much of an impact on the U.S. economy. And the second thing that's always the missing point is, you know, and I'm willing to acknowledge, yes, especially people who are here in the country illegally, that they are paying some forms of taxes. You know, if they're paying rent, usually there's property taxes built into their rent. If they're driving a car, they're paying registration fees, or we hope they're paying registration fees and vehicle taxes and things like that. So they are paying taxes if they're not necessarily paying income taxes, if they're being paid under the table, for example. But there's been research done by the Heritage Foundation, for example, and some other organizations that found that the average family needs to make about $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year in order to just break even on taxpayer services that they receive. You know, when you think of public services, roads, road maintenance, you know, schools, education, things like that, all the services that the government provides, yeah, they may be paying taxes, but they're not paying anywhere near the number of taxes that they need to be contributing in order to just be, you know, net neutral on U.S. taxpayers. And again, as you mentioned, they're sending a lot of their earnings back home to help support family members in their home countries.
To the point we're in Central America, this is one of the stats from the Dialogue Leadership for the Americas poll. In Central America, I mean, we're huffing and puffing at a 3% rate of growth for America's economy. Central America is going to see a 3.5% economic growth, mainly because of a combined 15% increase in remittances of American money to those Central American home countries.
Right. Yeah. The other side likes to make economic arguments to try to defend expanding legal immigration, offering amnesty to those that are here illegally, and not taking any steps to enforce future illegal immigration. But at the end of the day, you know, the benefit on the average American U.S. worker is slim to nil, if any.
Learn more about this issue, the various aspects of it. NumbersUSA.com is the place to do that. He is their director of content and activism, Chris Chmielewski. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.